Have you ever had a conversation with someone where you had to repeat yourself multiple times to try and get your message across? I have two young children, so I am no stranger to saying the same thing over and over again, usually with little effect. Leave your sister alone. Stop teasing the dog. Put some pants on. The list goes on and on. Well, Jesus was no stranger to having to repeat himself either, trying to get the disciples and anyone who would listen to him to understand his message of love and sacrifice. This was especially true when it came to the religious authorities of his time, the Pharisees. Today's reading from Matthew is part of a larger section in chapter 22, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees approach Jesus over and over with questions, trying to catch him up. Like last week when Father Leonard talked about paying the tax to Caesar. They were trying to get Jesus to say something that they could hold against him. And over, Jesus tries to answer them in a way that directs their attention back to God. But they don't seem to get it. They are too caught up in the words of the law to see the Messiah that is standing right in front of them. The Jewish laws were very explicit on just about every subject you can imagine. And the job of a faithful Jewish person was to follow all those laws. When the Pharisees questioned Jesus about what the greatest commandment in the law of Moses is, Jesus would have had 613 options to choose from. But Jesus answers them that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This comes straight out of Deuteronomy 6:5, from the words of Moses. There would have been little argument against this choice. Jesus then directly follows that up with the second greatest commandment, which he says is like the first, as yourself. This again comes straight out of the Old Testament, this time from Leviticus 19:18, God speaking to Moses. Now Matthew doesn't tell us how the Pharisees responded to Jesus' answer, but we can be pretty assured that they would have been silenced. Jesus had given them an answer straight out of the law, coming from Moses and God's own words. But why does Jesus give them the second greatest commandment as well, when they only asked about the first? These two commandments are linked together because loving God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind makes possible loving our neighbor. When we love God with all of our being, that love is infectious and spills over into all areas of our lives. Loving God with all of our being requires that we love God's creation, and our neighbors are an intimate part of that creation. They are made in the image of God, and the love of humanity is firmly rooted in the love of God. But how can this be done? Even those of us who have spent our whole lives following Jesus know that the heart has many places where bits of darkness lurk, despite our best efforts in prayer to replace those bits with the love that we all agree should be there instead. What Jesus is saying here about loving God and loving our neighbor only really makes sense when you place it in the larger context of Matthew's gospel message, of Jesus dying for our sins and the sins of the whole world, and rising again with the message of new life. That's when these commandments begin to come into their own, when they are not seen as orders to be obeyed on our own strength, but as invitations and promises to a new way of life in which, bit by bit, hatred and pride can be left behind, and love can become a reality. This is why Jesus includes the second greatest commandment. Although the Pharisees claimed to love God and follow all of his laws, they had missed the memo about loving their neighbors. They were all talk and no action. Their religious observances were ones of the head and of following the laws, rather than of love and of the heart. Jesus wanted to send a message to all those who were listening to him that to love God means to love your neighbor, and that we can only really do either of those things through the grace of God and the new life that Jesus' death on the cross would bring. I'd like to spend some time looking a little deeper at the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. When we look around our world today, we can see all kinds of examples of hatred, violence, and racism. And it becomes quite clear that we still have a lot of work to do in order to love all of our neighbors. We need to spend some time expanding our understanding of who our neighbors are. And we need to remember that we are all made in the image of God. We are all God's beloved, including that person that you just can't stand for whatever reason. God loves them just as much as God loves you. A hard truth to accept, perhaps. But we are also capable of incredible love and tender care for those who are closest to us, for our family and friends, our acquaintances, and even for those we've never met who have fallen on hard times and need a helping hand. Sometimes the love that we show for our neighbors is extraordinary. We help build them up with gentle words of affirmation and with encouragement. When someone is hurt, we offer soothing gestures and assurances that things will be okay. When mistakes are made, we are quick to point out that everyone makes mistakes from time to time, that things aren't as bad as they might seem, and that wrongs can be righted. Sometimes the compassion and love that we have for our neighbors is surely a breaking in of the kingdom of God. But this second commandment that Jesus tells the Pharisees has two parts. Love your neighbor as yourself. God straight up tells us to love ourselves, and not only to love ourselves, but to love others like we love ourselves. For some reason, this part of the commandment seems to get forgotten. It gets overlooked in our efforts to love others. But here's the thing. We can't truly love others if we don't love ourselves. And I want to say that again. We can't truly love others if we don't love ourselves. Now, maybe your immediate reaction to hearing that is to challenge it and say something like, well, that's not true. I volunteer with the homeless and the hungry all the time, but I struggle with loving myself. There are all kinds of things about myself that I don't like, but that doesn't stop me from loving others. My friends, if that is your inner voice right now, you need to press pause on that worn-out track and listen to the words of Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you've ever been on a plane before, you know that during the safety announcements, before you take off, they tell you that in the case of an emergency, you need to put on your own oxygen mask before you assist others. There is actually a lot of wisdom in that advice beyond the practical. But why is it so hard for us to love ourselves? We are often our own worst critics. When we make a mistake, we chastise ourselves for it in a way that we would never speak to a friend. When we are hurting and need some words of assurance, we speak harshly to ourselves and expect ourselves to just pick up and carry on. But where is the compassion that we would extend to others that we care about? We too are made in the image of God, and loving God with all of our being requires that we not only love our neighbor, but that we love ourselves as well. That's not to say that we don't have our flaws or shortcomings, or that we never make mistakes, but we need to remember to meet ourselves with kindness and love, to approach ourselves with gentleness, and the knowledge that we too are one of God's beloved children. Jesus' message to the Pharisees about the two greatest commandments is a message for us today as well. We are called to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And loving God in this way, with this overflowing of love, allows us to love not only our neighbors, but ourselves as well. It is a lifelong work in progress, one that will require much prayer and a lot of effort. But we are not left to the task alone. The grace of God and the love shown to us through Jesus' death on the cross empowers us to continually strive for choosing love over hate, for choosing compassion over criticism, and ultimately leads to kindness to self and others, all for the glory of God. May God grant that we find it so. Amen.
Amen.